Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, while vacationing, they thought they'd found the perfect place to stay. That is, until they met the Gray Lady.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, hello. And if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com if you'd rather do that. So if you want to be a premium subscriber, that option is up to you. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials, and you could sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days free there. You could also sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes Harper. This is kind of exciting because looking at the calendar, so we're chatting. We always talk on the weekends because Harper has school. But yeah. So we're chatting on a Saturday, and it looks like next Saturday someone's going on vacation, and it ain't me.
I'm very, very excited. We're taking a Royal Caribbean cruise along the Caribbean. That's fun.
You're going to love it so much.
I'm very, very excited.
Now, have you guys done a Disney cruise before?
This is my first time ever being on the cruise.
Ooh.
And I'm very, very excited because this particular one is the biggest one in the world. The Icon of the Seas.
I would love to go on that. I can't wait to hear all about it.
I'm so excited. I'll send you a plethora of photos.
Overload me with photos because I would love it. I'm going to live vicariously through you.
You're going to need more storage for the amount of photos I'm going to send you. I hate to break it to you, Carol.
I can get more storage. In fact, yeah. I have the most storage on my phone that one can possibly have.
Oh, really?
When I got my phone, I said, what's the most storage I can have? And he's like, this. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. But it's going to be so much fun, you know, and you and your dad are foodies too. And so they have, you know, cool restaurants you can go eat at.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm perfectly happy with the buffets, but.
I know, right? I'm just excited to see the architecture of this like masterpiece of a ship. Like it's going to be incredible.
And that's what's so fun about it. Like you look at the ship and it's like, how in the hell did they build this and get it to not sink?
That's
like
a good question.
How do they get it from point A to point B?
Because like, how do they get a full water park onto a ship without it sinking?
And maybe you guys can do, because sometimes they do some tours kind of behind the scenes, so you can go into the kitchen area or go into, you know, kind of behind the scenes with a captain or something.
Yeah, I think there's a tour on like the first day.
So do that if you can, because that would be super cool too.
Oh, definitely.
But there's just so many things to do. Like I've seen like the different, surfing almost.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You could
like
do
the surfing thing. Yeah, I've seen that.
So I don't know. There's just going to be so much to do on the ship. And then once you get off the ship, you're going to have a blast.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So, and if you don't bug me, just know I'm going to be texting you. Although your dad might want to put you on Wi-Fi once you get on the ship.
Yeah.
Remember that. Years ago, and it's different now, but this was like years ago, I went on a cruise and I thought I had set my phone to the right setting because this would probably be around 13, 14 years ago. Anyway, I got home and I had the biggest phone bill. I was like, oh, shit. I think it was $250 more than normal.
Oh, Christ.
I know. So this girl learned her lesson.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some ghost stories. And
let's
the first one is from Liz from Australia. And she says, when I was 16, my parents and I took a trip to Tasmania, the island once used as a penal colony. It's filled with stories of its dark past. We were traveling around, staying mostly in quaint bed and breakfasts, and found ourselves in a tiny town called Stanley. Only about 50 people lived there. That's 50, not very many.
Right, and it's really small.
And it felt like we'd stepped back in time. We stayed at the old Harbor Master's Cottage, an old Victorian terrace clinging to the edge of a cliff, looking out over the sea. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be gorgeous.
As soon as I stepped through the front door, a chill crept over me. Okay, maybe not so cool. Now that I read the next sentence. I just couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The cottage was small but filled with character. To the right of the front door was the first bedroom with a grand old mantel and two single beds, one directly opposite the door, the other behind it. The massive bay windows gave a perfect view of the sea. Down the hall was a second bedroom with a tiny double bed. The back of the house held a kitchen, bathroom, and cozy lounge, all furnished with creaky antiques that seemed to watch our every move. We settled in for the evening, lighting a fire in the lounge and exploring the place. I found a guest book filled with comments about the Gray Lady, an apparition who was rumored to roam the cottage. Some entries included little sketches of people dressed as ghosts, and others told strange tales of the lady appearing at night. I don't know that I'd like to have read that book.
Yeah, no, neither would I.
I felt a knot of dread tighten in my stomach, but my parents just brushed it off, calling it local lore. That night, Mom and I took the room with the two single beds, and Dad took the small bed in the second room. When we walked in, Mom pointed to the bed directly across from the door and said, "You take that one." "No way," I replied, practically yelling. I didn't like that bed. I wouldn't sleep in it. I couldn't even explain why, but I wasn't about to argue. So after an hour or so, after we turned in, bright lights flashed outside the bay window. The window looked directly out to the sea. There were no roads, no houses. I rubbed my eyes, convinced I must have been dreaming, and I drifted back to sleep, but not for long. I woke with a start to see Mom sitting up in bed, rigid as a stone, her eyes wide and fixed straight ahead. Around her head hovered a silvery fog. Ooh. I whispered, "That is creepy, isn't it?"
"That is very creepy."
I whispered, "Mom, are you okay?" But she didn't answer. Her face was blank, almost like she was elsewhere. I stared, watching the fog drift around her until I eventually fell back asleep. A blood-curdling scream ripped through the room, yanking me awake. I bolted upright to see Mom sprinting out the door, screaming, sobbing uncontrollably, something I had never seen her do. She fled down the hall and into Dad's room, crouching behind him and digging her nails into his back. She was white as a sheet, shaking and unable to speak. Finally, she whispered, "There." We looked to the door just as something flashed past it, a blur too quick to make out. Then as we watched, something pale, something that looked like a hand, reached out and waved at us from the shadows.
Oh.
I wasn't expecting that. Like, "Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey.
What's up?
What's going on?"
It's weird that it would wave. Like, what? That seems so friendly.
That does.
You know, when something waves at you, it's like friendly. Now it'd been different if it's something pale, something that looked like a hand reach out and flipped us off. That would be different.
Unless it's like some sort of like taunting wave that's like slow and like eerie, like... Yeah, like
just waving seems like such a friendly thing to do, but in the middle of the night, after seeing what your mother just did,
yeah,
like I'd be traumatized at this point.
Yeah, me too.
So Dad, the ever skeptical realist, looked terrified. He insisted on getting us out of the house immediately. It was 3 a.m., but he offered to take Mom to the car while I packed up. What? So Dad's like, "I'm going to take Mom to the car. You pack everything up." Oh my God. This is like child abuse.
Yeah.
Alone. I crept back to the room to gather our things. When I got near Mom's bed, a horrid stench hit me. Rotten oranges mixed with thick, sickly odor of decay. I never smelled anything so bad. I checked the bedding, but nothing seemed out of place. When I moved a few feet away, the smell vanished, only to reappear when I stepped back toward the bed. We left as soon as we could, and Mom refused to talk about it for years. Eventually, she told us what had happened. That night, she'd woken up, feeling something on the bed near her feet, pacing up toward her. Thinking it was a cat, she tried to brush it away, but something held her down, pinning her in place. She felt like she was floating outside of herself, watching as silvery gray hair began to flow from her own face, like it was underwater. Then she saw colors she couldn't describe swirling around her like they had a life of their own. She couldn't move, couldn't scream. Then suddenly, she was shoved back down into the bed, released from whatever was holding her. We later contacted the owner of the B&B, who laughed and said, "Oh, you must have met the gray lady." Dad, who worked with a few folks from the Salvation Army, told them about what I'd smelled around the bed, and one of them asked, "Was it dead horse and rotting oranges?" Dad nodded, stunned. That was the smell. That's weird. Ugh. To this day, Mom won't go back to Tasmania, and the mere mention of Stanley makes her break into a sweat. The memory of that smell and the ghostly hand waving at us in the dark, those things have stayed with me to this day. Thanks for listening, Liz.
Ooh, that is...
Don't like any of it.
Neither do I.
Like the friendly wave, that seems like one thing, but like even if Mom wouldn't have told the story years later, just seeing your mom wake up so terrified and go running into the other room and you're like the kid... And then your dad takes your mom out to the car and says, "Pack up." I get that mom shouldn't be by herself, but I could see dad going, "I'm taking my wife and child to safety. You're in the car. You're safe. I'll be right back." And then that'd be like in the movie, The Amityville Horror, when the dad goes back in to get the dog and the family's in the car. Like, is he going to come back out with the dog?
Yeah.
And that would be the two of them waiting. Is dad going to come back out with his suitcases? But it's just so weird. Like, kid, you pack up. It doesn't say how old Liz was at the time, but I don't like the fact that the poor person just had to pack up while mom's like in some trauma thing going on. It's just weird. Ugh, I don't like that. Well, let's go to this story.
Howdy. So my name's Mike. I live in Taos, New Mexico. Liz lives in Texas. I'm not exactly sure if it's a ghost story, but me and some buddies of mine were driving around about a couple of years ago, and we were cruising around, and we went by this place that was like, it's known to be haunted. You can see ghosts in the window, and like, you drive a little ways down, there's a story about like a bus with some kids in it got T-boned by a truck, and you can see the kids walking around or something. I'm kind of skeptical of it because, I mean, every state has that story. But, like, we're driving, and I lean over to take a hit of the bowl we were smoking, and the girl in the back seat yells, "Oh, shit, look out." And my truck goes, "Ka-thunk, ka-thunk," like I ran something over, like a dog or a cat or a child. Because I thought I ran something over. I jumped out real fast. My buddy jumped out real fast. We grabbed the flashlight, looked under the truck, looked all around, looked in the grass. There was nothing at all. But me and six other people felt my truck hit something and run it over. That's my ghost story. I don't, it's not much, but yeah. Y'all have a good one. Keep up the good work.
It kind of made me laugh. So he's reached around his smoke bowl.
He's like, ka-thunk, ka-thunk.
You know what's weird about that, though, is that happened to my niece.
Really?
Caitlin. She was living in Nashville. And we did a whole episode on this. Did she have a haunted car at the time? But she backed out of a parking place and hit something so hard, like her back taillight busted out.
Ooh.
Like she hit something really hard. So she's like, "Oh shit, I just ran into a car." So she, you know, the first thing you do, you stop, put it in park, you know, and you look in the rear view all at the same time. You're kind of looking around. And she goes, "There's nothing there." So she got out and there was nothing there.
Oh.
And so everything like the thunk, she hit something, looks in the rear view and looks around immediately. And then thought, well, it must be like that situation. It must have been something low to the ground that she didn't see. Like, you know, like sometimes there's a cement barrier between parking spots. She hit one of those. She didn't. There's nothing there. And it was a parking lot. So,
well, I guess question of the day is, did he or did he not hit a ghost child?
I don't know.
It's so absurd.
He definitely hit the bowl, but
he definitely hit something.
But we know what he definitely hit. But but the other people in the car felt it too. So that's weird because it happened to my niece too. Like she hit something and when she got out, there's nothing there. They hit something. And they all felt it. But there's nothing there. So what did they hit?
It's so absurd.
I think it was a ghost story.
A ghost kid.
I'm going with the ghost story.
Running over a ghost child.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could have ran over a ghost number of things.
A ghost number of things?
It could have been a ghost cow. A ghost clown. It could have been a ghost clown.
Why specifically a clown? Where are you getting clown from?
It's out of my head. Could have been the gray lady from the previous story.
Yes, the gray lady with a thin hand and gray hair.
Hey, y'all, waving. I guess she wouldn't say hey. She would say hey, y'all, in Australia, but I don't know. I think they ran into something paranormal. That's what I think they ran into.
Definitely. Definitely something.
Or they were all really high and they all imagined the same thing. So it's one of the two things.
At least we know they all hit something, okay?
That's the end of that story.
They hit something.
They definitely hit something, and we know for sure one thing they hit.
Exactly.
So here's another story. It says, I wanted to share my own experiences with a shadow person. I was 18, helping my dad and stepmom with babysitting. They both worked opposite shifts. Dad was on nights, my stepmom on days, so they needed an extra pair of hands to look out for my six-month-old brother. One afternoon, after I'd finally gotten the baby to sleep, he was lying on my chest as I was settling down on the reclining part of the couch. I turned off the TV and closed my eyes, planning to get a nap myself. The house was quiet, but then I heard something. I heard the door to my parents' bedroom close, followed by the soft but unmistakable sound of footsteps coming down the hallway, heading toward the living room. Instinctively, I thought, "Dad's awake. That's strange. He never gets up this early." I figured I'd let him know I was there awake with the baby. But when I tried to open my eyes, I couldn't. It's as if they were weighted shut. I could hear everything, sense everything around me, but my body felt paralyzed, completely stuck. Fear started creeping in as I struggled to move, despite trying to wake myself up. My mind was fully conscious, aware of everything going on, but I couldn't move. I managed to finally pry my eyes open just a crack, enough to make out the shape of the TV, the bookshelf, the window, and I sensed someone sit down on the couch next to me, a presence heavy and close. My heart was pounding, and I tried with all my might to turn my head to look at what I thought was my dad to say, "Hey," but when I finally turned just enough to see him, I froze. Sitting there watching me, it wasn't my dad. It was a shadow, a dark figure of a man. No distinct features, just an outline in the dim light. I couldn't see a face, but somehow I knew it was looking at me. Panic welled up in me as I strained to move, to scream, but I was trapped. I felt like I was locked in place. Then, in an instant, my eyes flew open and he was gone. Just like that, I sat up gasping. My heart was racing. I'd been so certain it was my dad coming to check on me and the baby, but whatever that thing was, it wasn't him. Still shaken, I called my mom, needing her help to come calm me down, to tell me it was nothing. But I couldn't shake the feeling. I've always been a believer in the paranormal, and sensitivity runs strong on my mom's side of the family. We all had our share of strange encounters, but this was the first time I'd ever felt anything like that. Something watching me so closely, so intently. Thanks for reading this. I've got plenty more stories to share, but I thought I'd start with the one that still keeps me up at night, Kayla. You know, it's interesting because it definitely sounds like a sleep paralysis experience.
Definitely.
But you know, what's interesting is so I did an episode on the Grave Talks with Gemma Jade, who's an author, and she wrote this book called Shadow Entities, Sleep Paralysis. I can't remember the exact name of the book off the top of my head. But she says that like these shadow people, they feed off of fear. So when you're lying there desperately trying to wake up and you're so afraid, and if you've had a sleep paralysis experience, you know what I'm talking about. Like you're trying to wake up and you feel it and you're afraid. And then to see that you're even more afraid, it kind of makes some sense that it would be a paranormal thing other than just, oh, it's sleep paralysis. It's some weird dream state.
Yeah.
Because the way Kayla described that, it was like something is sitting right there feeding off of her fear. Which is
that makes sense.
Really a really creepy, creepy thing.
That creeps me out, but that makes sense.
And she says the same thing about black-eyed kids, that experience, that they're feeding off your fear.
Oh, I haven't heard a story about those in a minute.
I know, they're so creepy. I should find us one, and next time we do one, I'll go through all the old archives and see if I can find a good black-eyed kid story.
Yeah. I think I did one on Cautionary Tales back when I was still doing that show.
Well, that was a creepy story, so I don't know what that was.
Very, that is very, very eerie.
So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us if you want to. You can call it in, leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. You can always write them in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber, we'd be okay with that. Advanced episodes, access to the archive, all without commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or go through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.